From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning is in 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 23. These were potters, and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. There they dwelt with the king for his work. Potters were not the very highest grade of workers, but the king needed potters. Therefore they were in royal service, although the material upon which they worked was nothing but clay. We too may be engaged in the most menial part of the Lord's work, but it is a great privilege to do anything for the king, and therefore we will abide in our calling, hoping that, although we have lain among the pots, yet we shall be as the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. The text tells us of those who have dwelt among plants and hedges, having rough, rustic hedging and ditching work to do. They may have desired to live in the city amid its life, society, and refinement, but they kept their appointed places, for they also were doing the king's work. The place of our habitation is fixed, and we are not to remove from it out of whim and caprice, but seek to serve the Lord in it, by being a blessing to those among whom we reside. These potters and gardeners had royal company, for they dwelt with the king, and although among hedges and plants, they dwelt with the king there. No lawful place or gracious occupation, however mean, can debar us from communion with our divine Lord. In visiting hovels, swarming lodging houses, workhouses, or jails, we may go with the King. In all works of faith, we may count upon Jesus' fellowship. It is when we are in His work that we may reckon upon His smile. Ye unknown workers who are occupied for your Lord amid the dirt and wretchedness of the lowest of the low, be of good cheer, for jewels have been found upon dunghills ere now, earthen pots have been filled with heavenly treasure, and ill weeds have been transformed into precious flowers. Dwell with the King for His work, and when He writes His chronicles, your name shall be recorded.
When I can read my title clear to mansions in the skies, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes, and wipe my weeping eyes,
and wipe my weeping eyes.
My God, my head, my all.
In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a publication entitled, "The Case for United Prayer." Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his studies in the book of Romans. He is dealing with chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, under the theme of looking at every fact and facet of life through the lens of the gospel. He's reminded us that the entire 8th chapter is an exposition of verse 1, where Paul declared, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." In verse 31, Paul asks, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" In answer, Dr. Cairns presented five certainties of sovereign grace which Paul sets forth in the concluding verses of the chapter. These are the truths that God is for us. He has delivered up His Son for us. He has justified us in Christ. Christ has performed a complete work for us, and because of that, nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ. In the light of these glorious truths, there are precious consequences that follow for all of Christ's redeemed people. First, there is no more subjugation to the devil's dominion, nor can any man succeed ultimately in his opposition to God's children. God is working all things, even the things that appear to be against us, for our good and for His glory. Next, we see that there is no deprivation for God's people, for God has given them all things in Christ. Now, Dr. Cairns continues this message, Five Consequences of the Certainties of Sovereign Grace.
The God of the three Hebrew children is our God today. And when they were in the furnace, there was not even the smell of the fire about them. The flame couldn't kindle upon them. This is the promise. Take again what he says in Isaiah 54:17. This is the promise to God's people. This is why he's saying, who can be against us? No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Now, he admits that weapons will be formed against us, and weapons will be hurled against us, and forces will be employed against us. The devil will do his best to bring us down, but the promise is no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shalt thou condemn. Is this for me? Is this a promise I can take? Is this a promise you can take? Listen carefully. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. In other words, if you are one of the justified by grace through faith, and you have imputed to you the righteousness of Christ, and you are serving Christ, and in His service you are cursed, you're opposed, weapons are hurled against you, God says they will not prosper. And you will be able to condemn every tongue that will rise against you. This is the heritage of God's servants. God is for us. So who can be against us? There's no subjugation. God's people are free. They've been given a glorious liberation. And if the Son make you free, you'll be free indeed. There's no return. Salvation's a one-way ticket. There's no return to the devil's embrace. Now, verse 32. The great truth here is that there's no deprivation for the people of God. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. We've already looked at that. But here's the question. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The truth here is that every spiritual benefit is given with Christ. This is where the greater includes the lesser. When God gives Christ, He gives everything. When He gives Christ, He's holding absolutely nothing back. And this is the full force of what Paul has been saying about us being joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of what the Bible has to say on this subject. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 1, says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His," or should I say, "who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now you go down to Ephesians chapter 1, and you see what some of these blessings are in Christ. You have grace, you have peace, you have divine election in Christ. You have God's purpose that you be holy and without blame before Him in love, that you be holy. Think of that. You were born a sinner. That you be blameless before God. You have divine predestination unto the adoption of children. You have redemption through His precious blood. You have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You have, He says in verse 8, abounding grace. Verse 9, you have the enlightenment of your mind and your understanding because He has made known unto you the mystery of His will. You go down to the end of the chapter. You have the blessing of being in the body of Christ, the church, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. After which He says, you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He speaks of the dark pit into which you are fallen. And then He says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed with all spiritual blessings. I started to quote 1 Peter 1:3. Ephesians 1:3 was what I meant to quote. I started in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. All the blessings we have in Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 1, the third verse, he says, His divine power hath given unto us, what? All things that pertain to life and godliness. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. I've said before that there's a bit of a debate among interpreters as to when this being partakers of the divine nature, as here described, actually takes place. Some take it as a description of sanctification now. John Calvin takes it as speaking of our glorification. When we do escape the corruption, the very presence of sin in the world through lust. What is this being conformed, or this being made partakers of the divine nature? It is the complete restoration of the perfect image of God. It's bringing us back to where Adam was before the fall with a great big plus. Because now we're in Christ. We have a perfect righteousness and we are perfectly conformed to the image of His Son. That's the promise. And everything that conduces to that point, everything that leads us to that great and glorious experience of being perfectly conformed to Christ, God's divine power has given unto us. What do you need for, to use Peter's words, for life? What do you need for life? What do you need for godliness? Well, he says, God has given you it all. Everything. When he gives you Christ, he deprives you of nothing necessary for your life in him. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, he gives the charge to them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly. The word richly means abundantly, overflowingly. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, what are those all things? Well, to understand that, you should look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The end of that chapter, Paul says, verse 21, let no man glory in men. You see, the Corinthians were taken up with men. They were so following men, they couldn't get over the beautiful rhetoric of Apollos, the wonderful oratory of Apollos. And they compared him to Paul's detriment with the great apostle who had founded the very church there under God. Paul said, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. You get that? All things are yours. Now, what does that mean? Charles Hodge rightly says, you take that in the widest possible sense, that means the whole universe. The whole universe. He's talking to God's church now. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. Notice this. Or the world. Remember, the word world has a variety of meanings. This is not speaking about the world corrupted. The world is an evil system of rebellion against God. This is speaking of the world of God's creation. And he says it's yours, richly to enjoy. Or life. Or death. Isn't that a strange statement? Death is yours. You see, the common conception is that you belong to death. Death gets a grip of you. No, says Paul, listen. Death is one of the things that God has given to you. It's under his power. And he will use this for your good and for your glory. And for a Christian, of course, it is now an entrance into heaven. It's the gateway to glory. Things present or things to come. They're yours. Why are we living like paupers spiritually? Why are we going grumping through life as if all these things were against us? God says, look at this world. Look at this life. Look at all the opportunities. Look at all the blessings. It's yours. And whatever your circumstances, you may be weak, you may be strong, you may be in health, or you may be in ill health. He says, look, I have given you this to enjoy. This world, this life, to enjoy. I'm to glorify God forever. Is it possible to glorify God when health is gone? Is it possible to enjoy Christ when the circumstances seem to be so black and bleak? Have you ever noticed the most spiritual of saints are usually the suffering saints? The ones who have most of the glow of heaven are usually ones who have walked a dark passageway through earth. You see, the Savior will never leave. He will never forsake his people. God deprives of us of nothing that's for our good. I'd hoped to preach this little outline within a sermon, but time forbids. He'll deprive us of nothing that's for our good. He'll deprive us of nothing that is for our growth. He has made full provision for that. He'll deprive us of nothing that's for our government by the Spirit of God. It's possible for you and me to live under the control of the Holy Ghost. It is possible for you and me to live in the Spirit. We are not victims, we are victors. We are not puppets on the devil's string. We are Christ's free men. Under the government of God and of grace. He will keep nothing back for our good, our growth, and our government, and nothing back for our ultimate glory. Conforming us to Christ and bringing us finally through to heaven. So there's no deprivation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.